going for national road regulation, we realize that operators are very reluctant to provide information, and often some of these matters are covered by confidentiality agreements that then do not enable operators to provide information. Then turning to open access, so we're converting the whole facilities leasing chapter into an open access chapter, but first we insert a section new 19A to deal with a wireless open access network service license to provide the wholesale electronic communication network services on open access principles. So we had to introduce a whole new, well, a number of new definitions to make provision for a WAN and wholesale open access and a WAN service and general open access principles and additional principles. The bill makes it clear that the WAN will not be a public entity, and we've inserted a number of provisions required by the competition authorities to ensure that it doesn't become a monopoly and that there are no unintended consequences or anti-competitive effects, including a role for ICASA to determine the terms and conditions, especially the incentives that must apply to the WAN, or at least be considered by ICASA for the WAN. Then in Chapter 8, what I said about converting the facilities leasing chapter, and really puts an obligation going forward on all ECNS licensees to open up networks and start sharing networks and facilities at the very least on the general open access principles, which would be things like openness and transparency and fairness. The amendment seeks to oblige ECNS licensees to provide wholesale open access upon request, to enter into wholesale open access agreements, to provide wholesale open access on terms that are effective, transparent, non-discriminatory. Then in response to public submissions, we've also amended the bill to provide that open access can't be done in the case of technical inability. So on the current regime with the reasonability test, there are lots of disputes on economic feasibility, and that's used by operators to block access, whereas technical inability is a factual question that can easily be resolved if claimed by an access provider. The bill now also excludes broadcasting signal distributors because that was just not intended for them, the open access requirements. Then turning to competition, we then, though one can already read it into the current act, we now make it clearer and mandatory for ICASA to define all the relevant markets within a specific time, and we may still receive submissions that say this period is too short, but nothing prevents ICASA from already starting this process under the current legislation to make up time, but that's just how important this is. Also because a number of other aspects of the law are dependent on market definition. Then the section requires that the authority sets out a schedule in terms of which it will then conduct market reviews of the defined markets, and also to update the market definitions every 3 years. So the point is to define all the markets up front and review those definitions every 3 years. And then as soon as you've defined the markets, then you publish a schedule and you say exactly when you intend as a ICASA to do a market review in respect of which of these markets. So by doing that, everyone knows the process going forward and you ensure certainty. And then update this process the whole time, because what may be a required market review now may be different in 2 or 3 years. In response to submissions from ICASA and the competition authorities, we also revisited the provisions about how they cooperate with each other so that we avoid infringing their statutory powers and place more emphasis in the current version of the bill on an MOU and between them and what the MOU can and should entail. Thank you.
Colleagues, the bill has been formally introduced to ourselves. I don't want us to delve into the bill. now, but if there are issues, questions or reflections, in a very small way that members would like to do, I'll allow them. But I'll also want to allow the lawyers to have, let's say, one or two. We've got Ms. Jenkins, who's a parliamentary legal advisor. We've got Madame van Asbjörgen from the state law advisor. Sir, you have anything you'd like to just briefly reflect on?
Chairperson, good afternoon. Thank you very much, Honourable.
John, the lights, we have seen.
Yeah. There's no water.
You wave your hand.
The power of the law.
Thank you, Chairperson. My interaction with this piece of legislation was to write the opinion on the classification of this bill to the joint tagging mechanism. So it is a bit of a new area, content-wise, for me. It was pretty clear. I'm very interested in to see what the public will bring to this bill, what are the issues that they find is not sufficient or insufficient or over the top, however they view it. So I'm looking forward to that part. When we're going through it, I didn't pick up any constitutional issues off the bat. But as I say, the content is not second nature to me. So it'll be very interesting to see what the public brings to this committee in terms of that piece of legislation. We have not received the classification of the bill, but it, of course, does not matter that much for this committee. We will deal with it, whether it's 75 or 76, in the same manner. It will be in the NCOP, which will take longer if it is a 76 bill. So, Chair, that is where I am at the bill. I find it, the logic in it made a lot of sense to me, because it's not second nature. I had to really pay attention to it. So, all good. Thank you, Chair.
There's nothing in the bill that may qualify it for a 76. I mean, what would... I can't see... There's zero part of the bill that could be qualifying for concurrency.
Yeah, no.
I don't know. I don't think there's anything.
Chairperson, if I may, I don't want to... Now, there's two areas, Chairperson, which I look at. One is risk. We've been challenged on that point where we have a borderline case. Is it 75, is it 76? And the issue of concurrency is one thing, but the Constitutional Court, when they gave a judgment in the Tongwane matter, made the point that we are tagging legislation for public participation. So they set out a test there, which was then applied in a Western Cape High Court case, which deals with regulation. It's not just how much in the bill is affecting a concurrent competency. It is, even if it's one provision, does it try and regulate that concurrent competency? And as the presenter said, we have a provision towards the end of the bill that says we have to have a policy that deals with how we're going to regulate consumer protection in this market area. And that raises the risk. And in terms of the opinion that our office provided to the joint tagging mechanism, we advised that we should err on the side of caution. Let me put it there. I haven't responded yet, so I don't want to discuss the opinion in detail, but that's where we are. Thank you.
You've raised a very important matter, which is a bit further away from the bill. But it's very important because it's a risk.
Yes.
Perfect. Well said. Well said, my learned friend. Madam.
Thanks, Chairperson. Sorry for hanging. I'm very much also on unfamiliar ground as to this bill, because it's content-wise quite technical for me. I'm not going to say much on the content. We have considered the constitutional issues when we certified the bill, and one issue that came up was just the regulations that ICASA is authorized to do in terms of the bill that must be subjected to the policy made by the minister, which was a bit of a tender point at that stage. But in terms of the bill, ICASA must basically act within the framework of the current Electronic Communications Act. So it doesn't go beyond what ICASA is authorized to do, and it also doesn't take over ICASA's powers by making it subjected to the minister's role. And then the other issue was just the access that the operators have to local authorities, to land, and how they can do it. And our view was that the bill actually just clarifies it more in line with the City of Tshwane judgment, which we considered when we did that. With regards to the tagging of the bill, we also made our recommendation, but ours was the Registrar Section 75. We also used the Tongwane matter, and our basis of saying so was that in substantial measure, the bill doesn't affect the provinces. So we didn't specifically go into the risks and but if we apply that test strictly, it also says that you shouldn't just look at one or two provisions within the bill. So we looked at it holistically and said that in substantial measure, it doesn't affect the provinces. For that reason, we recommended that it be a Section 75. But as we know, the decision is not with us.
Yeah.
And that is as far as we went for now, Jay. I suppose the rest will come out in the public hearing.
Thank you. Mr. McKenzie, sir, Madam Sheen.
Thanks, Chair. Just a quick one to you, Elf. In terms of ICASA's Chapter 9 institution independence, do you see anything in this bill that could be controversial or could be construed as threatening or impinging on ICASA's independent role? Thank you, Chair.
Good. Yes, Madam.
Thank you. My question is in regard to the policy that's being formed about the allocation of spectrum that's out there right now. Will the pending, assuming that this bill is not processed as quickly as you would like, will the fact that this law is still pending impede the progress of the allocation of spectrum via at auction or whatever? And will, if the fact that the Act isn't promulgated, affect the bidding prices that are put forward there? Because surely the Act in some way, or the bill in some way, does put a bit of a damper on the future of spectrum that could be assigned during this competitive process. So I'm wanting to know if we're going to go ahead with the allocation and market-driven assignment of spectrum, irrespective of what happens with the bill. And will the final awarding of the spectrum then be future-proofed against any clauses in the bill that may affect the licensees' use of the spectrum that they've won through this process, which will precede, I assume, the bill itself? Then I'm wanting to know whether there can be competitive wones. Do we need one? Can there be more than one wone?
Are you fine, madam?
I'm not quite sure. Nobody fine, nobody go fine, nobody has, nobody has. I'm sorry, if I go like...
Who can give me a part of the pill? Who can give me a pill in?
No, very nice.
Saudi power.
No, okay. The problem is, I'm Ulanda Ugutwa, Uno Minister, Kune ICASA, I have a role here. Who's supposed to play? Who's supposed to be the first player? Is it ICASA, is it the Minister, or both of them?
Good. Colleagues, I think...
All the inputs are very interesting and beautiful. So I am input that, right? Perhaps I must also raise one matter. The issue that members have raised, the last matter that
members are raising, is almost the issue that the state law advisor raises on the whether the bill does not erode the role of one another, the constitutional right of Chapter 9. Who raised the Chapter 9 issue? Oh, sorry. Okay, yeah, Madam McKenzie. Yes. Allocation versus assignment. I think that clarity becomes very crucial. We've chosen a very interesting name. I think both of them are speaking on the same net. We talk about assignment and allocation. Yes. I mean, their question is really speaking on those matters, whether we are not threatening on others' constitutional responsibility now. That's a very important question. Now, my question is simply one to the crafters of the bill. Having listened to the presentation and taking into account the many aspects that we have referred to, do we really need one bill for all these things that appear to be so many? And that's where we end. And the reflections quickly. I know the DG, you must respond to Madam Sheen's question. And the lawyers must respond to the rest of the other questions.
Thanks.
And whoever has to leave can leave. We will not delve into the bill. We just wanted to deal with those aspects. And then from now, it is going to be my responsibility to interact with the institution until I am satisfied that we've got everything ready to proceed the bill, and I'll come back to the committee. For now, we will, as we conclude our discussion, the thing remains tabled and in limbo until we have all our feet on the ground.
Thanks, Chair. Starting with the last question that she raises, whether we can have multiple wards. Now, given the fact that we're following what is called a hybrid model, it may not be possible because it's defined by the amount of spectrum that is available. So if we have many wards, it means we'll have to cut on what will go to industry players. So that is the constraint of practicality. But whether that can happen in future is a debate that will arise when we deliberate on the bill. I think there may be suggestions, perhaps from other players suggesting that we should consider having multiple open access networks. But what is very key and need to be clarified is that the open access network is not going to be a ghetto company. It's going to be a company that is going to be formed by industry players, industry investors, and there may be competition to be a war. So you can have multiple consortia bidding to be won, because the spectrum is not just going to be given to anyone on a plane. You will have to prove that you have capacity and financial muscle to deploy the war. So there will be competitive bidding, and we don't know how many players will be bidding for the spectrum. Now, with regard to future proof, that's what we have done all the years, that we have never changed spectrum terms. 900, which was given in 1993-1994, the terms have not changed ever since. So that has not happened, but what we would ask industry to assist us with is whether there is a need for a specific provision that deals with the grandfathering of certain rights that will accrue to those who participate in this. So that's a question that we need to look at. But it is for now, we work on the basis of common practice that we have never changed the terms. And we must also be clear when we say whether terms can be changed, what we're talking about. Our understanding is that if you say that this license is for 10 years, let's say for argument's sake, you cannot in the intervening period come back and say, in fact, it's now for 5 years. You can't reduce those kind of obligations. So we need to be clear on the kind of obligations that can be locked so that there's no change, but also there may be other obligations that always accrue that are not related to the spectrum license. Let's take, for example, changes in the Black Economic Empowerment laws. You can't say that that cannot change because it affects the whole of industry, irrespective of what which industry you are in. So let's be clear on what terms need to be locked and what terms can always change. Because the black economic empowerment rules, for example, will not be imposed on the spectrum, but will be imposed on the companies. So a company that has multiple bands, you will not be able to say PE only applies to a service that is provided through this band and not that. It will not happen like that, but we'll come back to that and provide detail. Chair, just to dispose of the reference to Ademba into this. And our view is that there is nothing unusual in what we're doing. This is very simple. The one is not a state-owned company. The one is simply about industry players coming together, especially those industry players who individually will not be in a position to deploy a nationwide network in the shortest space of time to compete. So the people who are forming the world is not a Robert Kona type of a person. These are people who have licenses, who are practitioners in the industry. They know what it takes there. But sometimes impression can be created that the world will be formed by non-industry players. Therefore, we have to fear it. But we're merely saying that there are industry players that will, even if you give them spectrum, individuals will not be in a position to deploy this. Please cooperate, work together so that you can pull scale and deploy a network. That's all there is. On whether we can continue to license in the absence of the finalization of this process, preferably we would have wanted to finalize this process, but because of the announcement that the Cabinet and the President have made that in light of the economic situation, we need to show some traction, even if it's not perfect, we will conclude that the process. We've engaged with ICASA to see to it that let's finalize the process in terms of the current law. But there is a need still to then say in future, with the benefit of hindsight, how do we deal with these kind of issues? Lastly, to conclude, Chair, on the powers of ICASA. ICASA is a Chapter 9 institution. Now, as you summed it up very well, the issue is about allocation versus licensing. Now, why did this become a matter? We have had an experience recently where the law says that ICASA must draft the radio frequency plan and submit to the minister for approval. And the minister must engage with other ministers who are affected by the same decision. Now, where the minister did not agree with ICASA, there was uncertainty as to who does what if there is this agreement between the two. Does the minister send back what he wants to insert back to ICASA? Now, and we'll provide in great detail how that nearly created a problem, a situation whereby this country didn't have a national radio frequency plan because it was not clear who has the final call between the minister and ICASA. So this seeks to just clarify that than taking powers from any of the two entities. I'm not sure if I left something.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. The question you had asked was about the need for one bill versus many, possibly many bills, because there are so many issues. We also considered that at some point, because as we had pressure to move on some of these aspects, we considered whether we could separate out some issues and put it in a separate bill. And theoretically, definitely, it's possible one can probably write 5 bills, break this into 5 bills, but then we found in the end we can't because there are so many interlinkages and interdependencies. A typical example is under the competition chapter, it's necessary to get the markets defined as quickly as possible so that you know, for example, what's an infrastructure market. Why must that happen? Because under the open access chapter, to determine who's a deemed entity, one of the criteria is that you have a certain market share in the infrastructure market. But if you don't know that, what's the infrastructure market that's dependent on the competition chapter, you can't make any progress under this chapter. And so the whole open access chapter is again linked, and the one is linked to the open access chapter in a sense. And that's linked back to the spectrum that must be signed on open access basis that can only be done if the open access framework exists. So we found in the end that we can't break it up into many parts and we had to proceed with the bill as is. It's also it created a big problem for us, of course, because whenever we have to present, it's not 10 pages anymore, it's now 130 pages. And whichever document or work you do on this bill, it becomes a massive piece of work. And so we also paid a big price for having it in this way, but it seemed to be the only option we had. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Nothing else,
sir? Can we call it off for the day? It is appropriately called off. Thank you for attendance and for participation.